It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you for joining us. I greatly appreciate each and every one of you. You're each treasured, valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. And I get to work with a lot of really great people. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday to you, producer Steve.
See, that's one day where you can get away with saying happy. But yes, it is that special day.
I do love Fridays as well, but I like all the days that end in Y.
Okay. Now you're stretching.
Hey, be sure and go to our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you will get a first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. And we've been on sabbatical on our podcast, and as we're moving into August, we're going to be ramping up those as well. But we've had some really important op-eds that I would encourage you to go take a look at there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I really appreciate each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do something. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or what we've seen, their livelihood via force. And force can be with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or this latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. And all of these things of force we're seeing really play out, except the weapon thing right now. But ultimately, freedom, it's freedom versus force. That's really the question on the table, producer Steve.
Hey, can I share something with you that just kind of popped up in my head?
Sure.
Maybe that happens on Fridays. Wednesday, our dear president went to Allentown, Pennsylvania, to the Mack truck plant.
Oh, and I saw that.
Yesterday, I saw on social media pictures of him. Actually, it was a video. Here comes the motorcade. And there was, probably 50, 60 people, or maybe more, holding up Trump signs and yelling Trump, Trump, Trump. So I sent the link to a friend, and her response was, I didn't see this on the news. And I thought, oh, come on. Somebody somewhere decided that wasn't news and you shouldn't see it.
Well, and one other thing that I saw on that he claimed that he had driven a Mack truck. Did you see that by any chance?
I did. And I responded was, oh, man. Well, obviously they placated him. They played along. I wish they would have said, oh, really? Well, what model was it? How big was the engine? How many gears? And then watch him stutter.
Well, apparently, yes. Let me see if I can get to that. He said that Biden was visiting this Mack truck facility when he made a claim that he had driven a Mack truck. And he said, I used to drive an 18-wheeler, man, Biden said on Wednesday in a video posted to Twitter. But come to find out that they could not figure out when he ever drove a Mack truck. They think maybe he has ridden in a Mack truck, but that's about as far as we could get.
As far as the man thing goes, that's getting old. I wonder if he ever loses it and, yells out at Jill like that. Hey, man.
very possibly may. But that is pretty, pretty darn interesting. Let's do a little other kind of bookkeeping in a way, things that we like to make sure that you know about, and that is our America's Veterans Stories this Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. They replay it from 10 to 11 in the evening. And Chuck Briga is our guest. It's a fascinating conversation. He was an Air Force jet fighter pilot. I got to Korea, he said, after the shooting stopped, but really an interesting interview that we recorded for that, and really excited to share that on Sunday, Steve.
Yeah, Chuck was, I remember sitting there grinning when you guys were doing the actual recording of that, and you know, the Air Force was essentially brand new, since the Air Force only came into being in 1948. So aside from that part of it, he was also in the glory days of bringing in jets. So he had a lot of fun.
Definitely listen to that as well. Let's jump over here. We're going to be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio in the second segment. And third and fourth segment, one of our great sponsors of both shows, Hal Van Herke, will get his perspective on what's going on out there. But he's a small business, or he's a businessman. He's an entrepreneur, has a small business. And I thought this was really a great quote. And this is by Ellen O'Kane Tauscher. She was born in 1951. She died in 2019. She was an American businesswoman, diplomat, and a Democrat Party politician who was the U.S. representative for California's 10th congressional district from 1997 to 2009. From 2009 to 2012, she served as the Undersecretary for Arms Control and International Security Affairs, and then she then served as a Special Envoy for Strategic Stability and Missile Defense at the State Department. It says, while in Congress, Tauscher was a leading centrist Democrat. I don't know if we have any of those anymore, Steve.
What was her title again?
Well, it was a whole bunch of things, but they said she was a leading centrist Democrat. I don't know that we have any centrist Democrats in office anymore.
Extinct.
Yeah. Yes. And she was the chair of the New Democrat Coalition, a caucus of modern Democrats in the House of Representatives. She also served as vice chairwoman of the Democrat Leadership Council from 2001 to 2005. And yes, this Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party of JFK. It is off the rails, a socialist headed towards communism and Marxism. But this is what she said about small business. The government Small Business Administration reports that small businesses represent 99% of all employers in the U.S. and are responsible for generating well over half of the new jobs created. That's a very important statistic, Steve.
It is. And, you know, quite frankly, or quite frequently, not frankly, but frequently, you'll bring up the fact that big government seems to be at war or going to war with small business.
Well, we've seen that through this Colorado legislature and then with the governor going ahead and signing these onerous things into a law here in Colorado. We are the petri dish for a lot of terrible stuff that's going on out there. And through this whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, it was remarkable, unbelievable to me that we had PBIs, politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties that started to say, your business is essential, yours isn't. And what has happened then, and this is a piece that was in the Biz Journals by Andy Medici, he said, COVID-19 triggered a shortage economy. It could be here for a while. And it reminds me of this Milton Friedman quote. It says, if you put the federal government, or in our case, also state government, in charge of the Sahara Desert, in 5 years, there'd be a shortage of sand. And that's really what we're seeing, is government gets involved and we have shortages. And so this is what Andy Medici said. He said, the COVID-19 era not only brought a global pandemic to the forefront of mass consciousness, but the resulting strain on manufacturing, supply chains, and workers also meant a mind-boggling number of shortages. And our economy was humming along. Unemployment was at record lows. Home ownership among blacks and Hispanics was rising. And then in comes this reaction here. And he said that there was a shortage of personal protective equipment, hand sanitizer, coin shortage, medical device shortage, liquor shortage, foam shortage, chlorine shortage, and toilet paper shortage, guns and ammunition shortage, rare earth metal rhodium also had its moment. And the list goes on and on and on. Shortages of things and products that make our lives better. And one has to ask why. And I submit to you, it's because of this onerous government that they think that they should control our lives instead of getting out of the way, being limited, so everyday people can go after their hopes and dreams, Steve.
Well, I guess it's on KLZ as well, KLTT, the Bob Duco Daily Commentary. And you know, his viewpoint, his vantage point, he said this constant propagation of now we're going to go back to masks to some degree, you know, the kids in school, all that. he says, you know, it's really aimed at the economy because of, you know, what do we call the big to-do over in Sweden where they, you know...
Or Switzerland?
Or Switzerland.
Davos?
Davos, where the big reset.
Right.
All this reset. All of this is connected. If you want to connect dots, this is where it goes.
Well, that is for sure. And I don't really like the Great Reset, but again, the mask is off on all of this onerous stuff that is going on and how there is this assault on everyday hardworking Americans, the assault on the American idea, the assault on our small businesses, the assault on the middle class. But people are recognizing what's going on and they're finding their voices. That's one of the reasons why we do this show, Steve, is so that people can find their voices so they can engage with their friends and their family and their colleagues about what is going on. And we get to come to you because of your support. Also, I get to work with great partners, and one of those is Hooters Restaurants. And they have five locations. That is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. Coming into the weekend, kids eat free on Saturdays with the purchase of an adult entree. And it's for dine-in orders only. So be sure, if you want to go out with the family, not have to cook, Hooters Restaurants is a great place to do that. They also have happy hour specials. Go to my website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign on our sponsors tab and then click on the Hooters tab. You'll get all their specials. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we will be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio about some of her thoughts on what's going on out there. Also, they're trying to get two little girls from Africa to America for medical care. She'll tell us about that. Hal Van Herke joins us in segments 3 and 4. You won't want to miss it. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are a voice that's searching for truth and clarity, looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force or coerce somebody to do that. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She's a frequent guest on the show. And she is one of the few people that actually read the complete Unaffordable Care Act, the PPACA, also known as Obamacare. And she was really, she was out on the stump explaining to people, you need to know what is in here. And so that is where I met her, and we have been friends for many, many years. Dr. Jill Vecchio, there is something that has been near and dear to your heart. We've updated our listeners from time to time, and there's two little girls in Africa that need medical care here in the United States. And you and some of your friends have been working to put together something to bring them here for them to get that medical care. It's not happened yet. What's going on?
Well, everything, you know, the hospitals and doctors have volunteered their time and all of their efforts for free care for these little girls. One will have her arm amputated if we can't get her to the United States for proper treatment. And another little girl is not able to gain weight. We're not sure why. Is it one thing or is it multiple things? But she will certainly die relatively soon if we can't get her here to find out what's going on. At this point, we are Casablanca. You know that movie Casablanca, mm-hmm. where all these people are stranded in Casablanca waiting to get exit visas so they can take the plane to Lisbon and fly to the United States. That's exactly kind of where we're sitting, only these little girls with Mother Superior, who was coming with them from the orphanage. We got documentation. And at first, their visas were denied in, I think, May. Their visas were denied. This has been going on since February. Then we got Congressman Lamborn's office. You know, everybody was all the congressmen and senators from Colorado were wonderful about wanting to help us. Lamborn's office, I already had some acquaintances there. So they have been unbelievable, absolutely fantastic. They helped us to get visa approval through the U.S. Embassy in the Congo, finally. We had all this documentation. Then the COVID stuff, so we had visas. We had the girls coming over. We had their flight itineraries. I think right now we are on itinerary number 9.
Oh, my gosh.
Complete separate, because it's had to be put off. So we had everything in place for them to come over. And then I think it was 3 days before they were supposed to leave or something, we get this notice saying, oh, well, now if you're flying through any of these cities, which is this whole laundry list because of COVID, you can't fly through these cities without quarantining when you reach the United States. So we got to work around for that with flights. So they would quarantine in Denver. We could do that. Okay. Then that's itinerary number five. Then they change it a couple days before they're supposed to leave again, and they change it to where, no, you can't even fly out of the airport in these countries, like Frankfurt, Brussels, which all the flights go through.
Right.
So now we have to spend another 5 hours trying to figure out what countries. It can be Istanbul, Turkey, or Togo. You know, it's like crazy.
Germany.
To try and get, now you're paying cash instead of frequent flyer miles. So we had a fundraiser and all this, and then finally got that done. And now there is a Captain Renault, a corrupt government official at the Ministry of Migration that will not give Mother Germaine and the girls exit visas to leave the country. I think he wants to be bribed. Mother Germaine refuses to do it. And now we're at an impasse. It's been, I think she's been literally practically living at the airport for 5 days.
Ugh.
Trying to get this visa. They keep telling her, come back tomorrow. We'll have the letter. She comes back. They make her wait for 8 hours, and then they're all gone for the day, and she's still sitting there. It's a nightmare.
Because of storms, one time I ended up in LaGuardia for like 24 hours. It was terrible. It was just terrible.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Where are they trying to fly out of?
Kinshasa in the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so it's neither Democratic nor Republic, but it is the Congo.
Well, you know what? We were talking about that just the other day, how what they say is totally opposite from what they are, and that certainly is the case with the Democratic Republic of Congo. Let's move over to what they say is totally different than what is really out there. And Jill, I'm just a little shocked that I'm starting to hear these words about mass mandates and all this talk about vaccines and the Delta variant. And what's your quick update? What are your thoughts about what's going on in America right now?
I think they're doubling down on the politicization of this virus. I mean, it's all political. The data has not been trustworthy since like the first month of this whole thing, and let's face it, they have brilliantly used and figured out how to use COVID to control people and promote their own other agendas very, very successfully. So would they want to let COVID go? Would they want the world to, you know, everything to open up and hey, here we go? No, of course not. In order to continue with their agenda, and the agenda is the Great Reset. So in order to continue with their agenda, they have to keep stirring up COVID. And then when they've run out of variants for, you know, the Z variant of COVID-19, then there will be a new pandemic anyway. This has been the most effective way to control the people of the entire world. Now with the vaccines, they've talked about boosters. People are pushing back against boosters. So they're kind of feeling out the water. And at this point, oh, we've got this new variant. Even if you've been vaccinated, you need to wear a mask because of all the people who haven't been vaccinated. Those evil, evil people are making you, the responsible vaccinated person, suffer now. And I tell you what, that is selling very well to a lot of people in the public.
I did talk to a friend of mine recently, though. She said, hey, Kim, you know that I was very supportive of mask wearing. I said, yes. And she said, but I think that this whole thing is crazy. And so there may be some that are buying into it, but I think there are also people saying, wait a minute. I wanted to just mention this. We talked about this the other day on the radio as well. And this was the first sentence from Michael Hancock, who is the mayor of Denver, his State of the City speech recently. He said, "We're turning the challenges of the past year, and there were many, into opportunities," said Hancock in a virtual address to the city overlooking downtown Denver. opportunities to transform our city into a model of equity and inclusion that is sustainable for years and even decades to come. Actually, these policies will destroy Denver. It will not be sustainable. It will destroy this beautiful city that we have loved so much, Jill.
Well, and it's never meant, when he says equitable, and I can't remember some of his
equity and
adjectives.
Equity and inclusion and sustainable.
And what he means is sustainable uniformity, sustainable compliance. You know, equity, in order for everything to be equal, everyone to be equal, you have to go down to the lowest common denominator. So that means equality in poverty or something, if you really want everybody to be equal, because everybody can't be wealthy, right? Everybody can't be middle class. So everything has to be at the lowest possible level. And if you want all of this inclusion, all that means is we're going to force everybody into the same mold of equality, and therefore everyone will be included because they're all in the same mold.
They're all
This is all about. This is all socialism, and this is the happy speech that they give to everybody in order to sell their idea and hoodwink the majority of the sheeple into believing that they have some great plan for, the utopia. I mean, it's so silly that people are still buying into this, but people don't do their research. They don't know their history.
Well, and ultimately, it comes down to the love of unearned money, and that is another thing that Hancock is doing. He's chairing this, or he's very involved in this Mayors for Reparations group that is out there. And I talked to somebody about it the other day. They said Colorado wasn't even in existence. And so, how is that working out? But it's this promise of free stuff that is attractive to people. And we talk about it all the time. Socialism is not about free stuff. That is just the carrot to get people to vote for that or to support that. And Lincoln, this isn't anything new, though. This is not new at all about people trying to have power over other people, to take their earnings via force or coercion. This isn't anything new. And I was looking at Lincoln quotes recently, Jill, and there was a quote there that along the line of in America with hard work and with opportunity and with liberty, all these things of the American idea, you may be on the bottom rungs of the economic ladder, but with hard work, you can go up, you can move up. And that is what is so frustrating about this whole victimization, this whole mentality of inclusion and equity, and this is not sustainable for sure. But it's this idea that you're stuck there. You're not. In America, you have opportunity. And we haven't always gotten it right or perfect. But quite frankly, if this was not a place that didn't have equity and inclusion, you wouldn't see all these people coming to the border of all different ethnicities to try to get here if, in fact, they thought that we were such an inequitable and uninclusive society. So final thought on that, Jill.
Well, as part of the Great Reset and worldwide socialism, the globalist agenda, all of these things, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, all of these, and the spread of communism during, remember Khrushchev said, they don't have to do anything, they will sell us the rope that we'll hang ourselves with. So this is, but in order to have the globalist society, the one world order, the new world order, whatever, Great Reset, America has to be destroyed. Essentially, not with war, economically and socially ripped apart. Think how close we are now. Think of where we were 2 years ago. Think of where we were 10 years ago. It's amazing. And we are, now what they're trying to pass bills to spend $10 trillion. And they have to destroy the economy. They have to destroy the social structure. They have to pit people against one another. They have to destroy the American ideal, the American dream. And they have to make the entire world uniform. And that's exactly what they're doing, and COVID has allowed them to do it.
And that is why I think people are awakening. They're not being woke. They are awakening to what is going on. And this has been percolating underneath the surface for many, many years. We now see what's going on, and we need to step into this battle of ideas. Jill, you do this on a regular basis. That's what we do on the show. And I so appreciate it. So I wish you just a really great weekend, and we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you. Take care, all.
Okay, and we'll be right back with Hal Van Herky.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcast. And thank you to all of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice out there. We are an alternative to the din that's going on, and we really try to focus each hour to help you get your brain around these issues. And we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. A great partner of the show is Hal and Linnea Van Herky. They are entrepreneurs. They own Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located in Sedalia, and they're sponsors of both the shows. And many of you say you so enjoy Hal's perspective. He's a businessman and understands what's going on out there. Hal Van Herky, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. It's great to be here.
And you've got an event coming up very soon, and that is, hold on here. I was thinking it was August 5th, and I made a correction that it was August 7th, and now I'm looking. It is actually August 5th, which is a Thursday from 3 to 6 p.m. You're having a knife sharpening event.
Yeah, it's just a way to continue to get the word out that we've invested heavily in the highest possible quality of knife sharpening gear for your kitchen knives, outdoor knives, any type of knife you want to bring by, as well as professional staff to do that. So it is on a Thursday, which is a little different, but we envision this as a small event for anybody who has been thinking about getting some of their knives sharpened, but just haven't had a chance to make it. So
okay.
Looking forward. Yep.
So that's August 5th from 3 to 6. That is a Thursday. It says food and drinks will be provided, and you can stop and mingle and chat about blades. And I love this hashtag stay sharp. And so how this is going to work, you will, while folks are there, you will actually sharpen one knife. If they have others, can they bring them and leave them and pick them up later? What's that going to look like, Hal?
Yeah, and if we're not busy at the moment, we'll go ahead and sharpen as many as we can, but we'll get at least one done for you while you wait, and if we can do more, we will. If not, then you can pick them up the following Tuesday.
And I'm learning as we have these conversations, but it seems to me that, and Catherine has mentioned some of the kind of vintage blades that people might have, you certainly want a professional sharpening those blades because it's just really important with these tools to make sure that you have a professional that's doing this.
Yeah, it's a lot of the stuff we specialize in, and most people have a pretty decent amount of money invested in their kitchen knives as well, but most of the knives we focus on are either treasured by the individual for sentimental reasons, or could potentially be fairly expensive knives, but similar to what we sell on our high end, going into the thousands of dollars, and you don't want to risk taking that to somebody who doesn't really know what they're doing. So we check the manufacturer specs for blade angle in the database that we have. Then we double check that blade angle to what it's supposed to be with our own measurements. We've invested tools that can, sharpen today's super steels, diamond base sharpeners, and all kinds of other gear to do that. We have a whetstone sharpening capability. And so we can do either a basic sharpen for somebody, or we can get it to the point where it's a mirror polished edge on their blade if that's what they want.
That is so cool. Your website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. One other thing, you are a veteran, and you do offer a discount for our veterans, our military personnel, as well as first responders. What's that look like, Hal?
Yeah, that's 10% off of any purchase, including 10% off the sharpening, any day of the week. If you're in the store, just show us your ID. If you're online, you need to send us a copy of your ID, and we'll give you a one-time use code for your purchase to get 10% off of anything we're selling.
Well, thank you so much for doing that. And our show this week, our America's Veterans Story show, is Chuck Briga, and he was an Air Force fighter pilot. And did get over to Korea, he said, after the shooting stopped. And he tells a story about taking his dad's airplane for a joyride and buzzing, I think, some people that were at the family's house when he was 13 years old. So he's had a love for flying forever, basically. And then he was on a top secret mission with a top secret squadron that he was sworn he couldn't talk about it for over 50 years. But he does talk about it on this particular show. So, again, thank you for your sponsorship for that show as well. Hal Van Herke, people really like to hear your perspective on small business. We're seeing kind of the saber rattling on mandated masks again. What's on your radar today?
Yeah, I haven't checked in the last day or two to see to get the read of the temperature of our local state Governor Polis, to see what his thoughts are. And just how much of this national mandate he may try to push down on Colorado. But I have to say that the concepts of individual freedom in the face of a tyrannical government have been on my mind a lot lately, not just with these recent mask mandates, requiring the vaccine for federal employees, requiring the vaccine for other, now it looks like they're going to try to extend it to people that are on federal property, pushing as far as they can to force the vaccine on you. And it's just, we've overwhelmingly evident that we've entered a period of time where at least one political party in this country has forgotten entirely about our founding values of individual freedom and the importance of individual freedom, and everything can be swept under the rug if it has to do with in the name of public safety or what's good for the people. And the people who decide what's good for the people is them.
Okay, go.
And so there's a real lust for power that we see, that's obvious, finally obvious. And I think that it's... This is the culmination of a long tradition of leftist thought that has been what, at least throughout my lifetime, I've called creeping socialism. That's very much a product of Marxist philosophy and the slow march of socialism and Marxist ideas through our schools, through our institutions, through our media, through places of power. That's taken several decades to unfold. It's very much reflective in the postmodernist philosophical thought that a lot of our intelligentsia and elites subscribe to these days, whether they know that or not, which is a soulless fatalism in terms of, I guess the best way to describe it is a wandering in the darkness in terms of philosophy. It's the relativism. Everything's relative. Morals are relative. Freedom's relative. Everything's relative to the moment, which is really part of the postmodernist school. And what a number of more modern thinkers have called the cesspool of every bad idea through history. And so it's there is a lot of people, there are a lot of people who are in significant senior positions of power within this administration, within large corporations, in the media, et cetera, who have completely forgotten the concept of individual freedom, have forgotten the Western values of Judeo-Christian tradition that value the individual and value the individual because there's an individual spirit or soul attached to that individual. And so it's very much down to the very root foundations of what we believe is important. And in their mind, the only thing that's important is whatever's important to the state.
Hal, you mentioned earlier that I never thought that we would be at this spot in the United States of America when we look at all of this force and coercion and mistruths that are coming from the mainstream media. And a way sometimes to do mistruths is to, A, not report the truth, admit it or omit it, obfuscate it. And I guess I'm grateful that we're starting to see that that is what is happening. We kind of thought it was, but we see that now. But we are in this great, epic battle of ideas right now in our country, Hal.
Yeah, I think that I just changed my Facebook background photo to be the new branding for the Centers for Disease Control, and now it's the officially the Centers for Doubt and Confusion. So if anybody wants to go to my Facebook, personal Facebook page, they can pinch that photo from me. But it was something Tucker Carlson had on his show last night. But I think that, you know, we are in the middle of an epic battle that goes all the way from the most mundane and basic, aspect of everyday life and, you know, the fleeting news cycle item of the moment, all the way down into the very depths of what it means to be an individual, what it means to be human, what it means to, what's the definition of family. And similarly to the way that we have witnessed the left trying to rewrite history through removing of statues, through the, I think it's the 1619 Project or whatever it is, trying to rewrite American history in the most negative light possible. There's also been a war on language and definition, and now we're to the point where you can just say anything that's downright false, downright obviously manipulative, and if you just say it enough times, and if you censor any dissenting voices, the gamble is that enough people are going to be asleep at the wheel trying to live their materialistic lives and work their two jobs just to keep their head above water, that they're not going to notice that you've changed your story 15 times and every time it's gotten a little bit more cynical and a little bit more tyrannical. So I think we are in a huge epic moment in the world today. This is, in some respects, it feels like to me this is our moment, just like our grandfathers and great grandfathers and mothers had during the greatest generation in World War II. But we're fighting on a battlefield of ideas and ideals and values, and it's really the state versus everything else. Is state going to be the center of everything? Is state going to become the new religion? Is the state going to become the new God? Is the state going to own and control every aspect of your life? Or do we still value individualism, individual freedom? Do we value religion? Do we value the traditional ideas of family, et cetera? And we've talked a long time about this quote, cultural war, but this cultural war has now gotten to the point where it's permeating and controlling every aspect of your life. And you're right to say that the only bright spot in this otherwise doom of doom of control and tyranny is that the masks are off, at least for them. Apparently we're going to have to put our masks back on, but they've taken their masks off in terms of their intentions. It's obvious at this point the truth is relative, and the truth is what they say it is. It doesn't matter that the CDC was screaming at us for not following science 6 months ago, when their science was contradictory and confusion. It doesn't matter that we had our own, a lot of other people had their own scientific discussions they wanted to have. Those were shut down, and now there's not even an attempt to base this new round of decisions with mask wearing on science. Either the vaccines worked or the vaccines don't work. If the we already know that the masks don't really provide any protection. But if the vaccines work, then we shouldn't be having this discussion. If the vaccines don't work, they should be telling us that. But it's very clear that we're in an era where the facts don't matter anyway. It's just shut up and do what we tell you.
And we're Americans. That's not what we do, is to shut up and do what they tell us to do. And I feel that there's more and more people that are waking up to this onerous public policy that's out there. Hal Van Herky, we're going to go to break. I'm talking with Hal Van Herky. He is an entrepreneur. He's the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool. And he's a small business guy and shares his perspective on these big ideas. So we're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Hal Van Herky.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I really appreciate all your help and support as we keep our independent voice out there searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And Hal Van Herky is on the line with me. He is an entrepreneur. He and his wife own Castlegate Knife and Tool. And just quickly, let's talk again about this great knife sharpening event that you're going to have on Thursday, August 5th from 3 to 6 p.m. People can come in and get one knife sharpened, complimentary, and talk with others. You're going to have food and drink. Sounds like a great event, Hal Van Herky.
Yeah, it's just a way to let everybody know about the significant investment that we've made in knife sharpening equipment and tools to have the very best sharpening capability to give you the best results of any place in Colorado by far. And it's just a way to give people a chance to come in and check out the store as well. It is on a Thursday night, so the idea was to catch people who might just put that down as an errand to get done and come over and get a knife sharpened that they were planning on getting sharpened, or to drop off their kitchen knives that visit with us and get a chance to check one of the boxes off their to-do list.
I love checking boxes off my to-do list, Hal Van Herky. And that website is castlegate.com, castlegate.com. Hal Van Herky, question regarding small business in Colorado. This last legislature has passed just a whole bunch of terrible stuff for small business. Are you seeing that percolate to you guys yet, or what's that looking like?
I think there's been some impact. I think that a lot of the stuff that was passed still is grandfathered in terms of when it passed to go live. A lot of it's going to hit at the end of the year or between now and the end of the year.
Or some of it's after the next election for governor, after 2022.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that part, too. Yeah. So I think a lot of it hasn't hit yet. I think that most of the small business owners that I talked to, and I was with a group of small business owners in Castle Rock last night for a couple of hours and got a chance to see what's on their mind. I think that the overall consensus for small business owners right now is just they have their businesses back, underneath. They got their feet back underneath them. The business is rolling the way they expect it to. A significant amount of demand and support from local communities to keep their valued small businesses in business. I think small businesses are struggling with the two things that you hear in the news about so much recently, which is finding the right staff, and then also managing the supply chain issues that everybody has had in terms of shortages on the wholesale level. But, you know, the general sense that I get is that the supply chain issues are beginning to be resolved. People are, have found new suppliers that found new ways to get things done. We're focused on products and services that were not in jeopardy. And so things are starting to roll pretty smoothly there. For a lot of businesses, the not being able to find help is significant. I think that, you know, if you were sitting, anybody who needed a job that was sitting with the group that we were with last night would have had a dozen options of jobs ranging from entry-level work that was interesting all the way up to, you know, changes in professional careers, et cetera. I don't know if there was a business there that wasn't trying to hire at some level for somebody. So that's the good news. And it's not just entry-level jobs. You know, that's starting to change now where people have shifted to a new position to take advantage of new opportunities in other growing companies. People are backfilling professional positions, skilled positions, et cetera. So if you're a job seeker, I think it's the best time maybe in a lifetime to go out and really look for that job you've always wanted, or to advance your career, advance your job, et cetera. And that's positive. You know, it's all good news. I think that a lot of people are staring into this COVID-19 Delta variant news, the tsunami of news and potential crackdowns that are coming ahead of us, and trying to make, you know, their best estimate about what's going to happen this time around. Are we going to have the same level of draconian lockdowns as we had before? Our government's going to be a little bit smarter about that. If governments are locking down, what are the businesses going to do this time? I've talked to a lot of small business owners who shut everything down last time and have said, I'm not doing that again. I'm not, you know,
it'll put people out of business to go through this again.
Yeah, it's like you're either going to put me out of business, or that I was coerced into doing it last time under false pretenses. And a lot of what they told us ended up not being true, and they don't really seem to know what is true right now. So not going to go through that again, not going to participate, not going to comply. There might be a lot of individual non-compliance going on, with the thought that if everybody just ignores them, the government's going to have a hard time enforcing anything. I hear a lot of talk like that among people who typically aren't, even among business owners who aren't that political normally. So we'll see what happens. I think that going back to our conversation in the first segment, we're at a very unique point in time. And I think that anybody who values truth, anybody who values, and I say truth in terms of absolute truth and truth that's, you know, either anchored in the laws of man and nature or handed down by the divine creator, versus the relative non-truth of cultural Marxism. If you believe in individual freedoms and the foundations of that, I think everybody has to start taking stock of what can I do as an individual to fight this. And I don't mean that in an aggressive, violent form, but I mean that in a conscious resistance type form. And I think everybody has to decide just how far they're willing to go to just stand up and say no. Does that mean you're just going to take a little bit more risk in the office, or a little bit more risk at your dinner party than you normally would by raising your opinion and making it known that you're not in line with this, you're not walking in lockstep in line like you're supposed to, or just openly questioning about what's going on, listening to the people around you and giving them a chance to voice their concerns so that they don't feel like they're the only one crying in the wilderness by themselves. I think that, you know, we need to become more vocal. We need to ask more questions just at an interpersonal level. We need to, if we own businesses, we need to decide how to use our voice to champion for freedom and question what's going on. And I'm not saying be anti-science or anti-logic or anything else. And I guess it's a good point to remind people that I'm a big proponent of individual freedom and limited government, but I also believe in science. I took the vaccine. I weighed my own decisions and my risks and decided that that was what was best for me. My family did the same thing. So I'm not anti-science. I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm pro-truth and pro-giving us as much information as possible so that people can make their own choices. And I'm very much against coercing people, especially coercing people to put something in their body where they haven't been given all the information to make that rational choice on their own. So I think that we, you know, we need to stand up, we need to push back, we need to make sure that we make enough noise that our other fellow freedom fighters around us can hear us and realize that they're not alone. And I kind of, I'm kind of thinking about a Ben Franklin quote from the revolutionary era where, you know, to paraphrase, if we don't all hang,
if we don't all hang together, we'll hang separately.
Yes. And so I think that we, if we don't hang together right now, we're going to end, surely we will hang separately. And I think that's kind of the case right now. If we don't all, in the community of people who still value freedom, stand up, become more vocal, lead by example, open these questions, explain our position, stand and stand for our rights, I think that we will see those rights swept over in a wave of ultra paranoia, and in the name of public safety, and really in the name of worship of the state and complete tyrannical control from the federal government. And this has been something I've been fighting my whole life, but I believe that the people that are on the other side of this are drunk with power right now. Their masks are off, as you said earlier, and they I think they believe they can just roll this over now on brute force and win the marketplace of ideas just by brute force, by repeating the same nonsense over and over again, by shutting out dissenting opinions. And I think now's the time to stand up and find your safe but powerful spot where you can push back.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why we do this show, Hal, is to help people understand these issues, think about these issues, and search for truth. And just even little glimmers of truth planted here and there, it is amazing what they grow into. And I'm very encouraged that, and to what you just said, Ruth, regarding these business owners that you were with, is people that have been apolitical and have been busy with their businesses and their families, and we've been kind of fat and happy, if you will, here in America, not realizing that underlying our freedoms and our big, vibrant middle class, there's an assault on that, and our small businesses. We hadn't really realized just what was going on, but people are awake now, and I feel very encouraged about that, Hal Van Herky.
Yeah, and I think what I want to encourage is people who might be listening who aren't comfortable. Like, I'm very comfortable saying what I think. I used to get in trouble in corporate America. I'd be on a call with 100 people, and they'd ask me what I think, and my boss would be frantically texting me saying, don't tell them what you really think. You know, I have no trouble speaking my mind, and I spend time thinking about these big ideas. But there's a lot of people who don't, and maybe don't feel comfortable about saying, here's what I believe. But what you can do is just ask questions. You know, if you're sitting at that dinner party or around the table or at the ball game or whatever, and somebody says, oh, looks like we're going to have to do this now, just say, why are we going to have to do this now? Mm-hmm. You know, that could get the conversation started. You know, just openly ask questions is probably, you know, if you don't feel comfortable, if you don't know if you have the answer and you don't want to appear that you do, just ask the question, why are we doing this? Or where does this all lead? And I think that, you know, at a minimum, people could start doing that. And that signals to the people around you that they're not the only one with those questions. They're not the only one that doesn't feel 100% comfortable about that. They're not the only one that, you know, feels like we're heading into this era of misinformation and newspeak and doublespeak, et cetera. So, you know, that could be very valuable, just asking questions, right? And right now it's very obvious that Jen Psaki and the Biden administration would like you to stop thinking and just shut up and obey. On this, the most two or three most recent press conferences on mask wearing and vaccines, they'll just tell you two contradicting things in a row. And then when you say, but that doesn't make any sense, they're like, well, we really just would like you to shut up and obey, you know, is what they're saying. So, you know, just, I think it's time to just question everything. You know, why are we doing this again? How is that going to work out? Where does this all lead? Or if you have opinions, you just research something, you just watch something, you manage to get a piece of alternative information that wasn't censored, bring that up, start the debate, you know, look for other ways where you can have even more meaningful discussions, and you'll find out that you're not the only one sitting at that table that has the same concerns. They've just been afraid to voice them because they don't want to sound silly. And we've been conditioned to think that if you have questions about what's going on, that there's something wrong with you. It's been a grand exercise in gaslighting anybody who still believes in individual freedom and believes in questioning the narrative, in gaslighting you into believing something's wrong with you, or you're either selfish or you don't understand science or you haven't been paying attention or whatever. But you'll find out that, you know, at least 50% of the people sitting around you are having the same thoughts, and they just wanted somebody to be brave enough to bring it up.
Well, Hal Van Herky, and what you're talking about is the basis of critical thinking. It's those questions of what and why, when and how, and where and who. And that is the basis for searching for truth and searching or beginning critical thinking. Hal Van Herky, you are such a valued partner of the shows. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Kim.
And our quote for today is from Glenn Mazzara. He says, if you're going to run a small business, you need to know what everyone is doing, be the first one in and the last one out, and work weekends. So my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell